hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Thursday night with first round games in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Memphis, Tennessee. The home teams, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Memphis Grizzlies, both face must-win situations as they try to avoid elimination. The Bucks trail the Toronto Raptors 3-2 in their best-of-seven series, and the Grizzlies are behind the San Antonio Spurs 3-2 in their series. In results Wednesday night, the Boston Celtics scored a 108-97 victory over the visiting Chicago Bulls to take a 3-2 series lead. Guards Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley scored 24 points apiece to help the Celtics win, while veteran star Dwayne Wade had a game-high 26 points for the Bulls. Here in Washington, my sometimes magical Washington Wizards clipped the wings of the Atlanta Hawks 103-99 to take a 3-2 lead in their first round series. Guard Bradley Beal had a team high 27 points for the Wizards, whose head coach Scott Brooks talks about some of the keys to victory.
We made a few more winning basketball plays. We made a few more shots. I thought defensively really did a good job of staying with our game plan, and the game plan always starts off with effort, and it gets into our techniques and schemes, and I thought we did that throughout the game.
The game's high score was Atlanta's German point guard Dennis Schroeder, who had 29 points as well as 11 assists.
I think we was right there. We had a chance to win. Missed a couple of rebounds. You know, missed a couple of layups, shots. So, I mean, it's tough, you know. In crunch time, we got to make those kind of plays. But I think overall, you know, we showed the effort for 48 minutes. But Washington did some great plays down the stretch, and they won the game.
Dennis Schroeder and the Hawks now face a must-win situation of their own when they host the Wizards in Game 6 Friday night in Atlanta. Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department attended Game 5 in the Wizards-Hawks series, and Dan joins us now in the studio to talk NBA playoffs. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. It's nice to be here again. And the NBA playoffs are always so interesting because the character of the series really comes out compared to the regular season. You might have an exciting one-game matchup like we saw a couple of months ago here in Washington, where the Wizards and the Cavaliers played an amazing game that went into overtime that Cleveland ultimately won. But now you have the situation where you have Game 1, you have Game 2, you have Game 3, and the series builds up a storyline. And if you get to a situation like we have with the Wizards and the Hawks, they're going into game 6 on Friday night in Atlanta. These teams have really gotten to know each other so well. And you know, there's a possibility that Sunday we'll have game 7 and it'll all come down to one last game for the end of the season for one team and the chance to advance to the next round for another. So it's really interesting to see how the storyline develops over the course of a couple of weeks.
Dan, one of the storylines in this Wizards-Hawks series, we just heard from him, Dennis Schroeder, one of the international players in the NBA, Dennis from Germany. What have you? What are your impressions of his play so far?
You know, he's really an outstanding player. He's kind of under the radar for a lot of American basketball fans because he didn't come through the typical system of maybe being a high school phenom in the U.S. and playing for one of the big college teams. Here he is with the Hawks. He's really matured over the last three or so seasons. I remember working on some games a few years ago when he was kind of an unpolished player. Last night he made 5 3-pointers. He scored in the upper 20s. He was a really key, important figure for the Hawks staying in the game as long as they did. I mean, it really came down to the last 40 or 45 seconds last night, and the Wizards were able to pull it out. But Schroeder's he may not be as consistent as the star players that are in the NBA, guys like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or, you know, somebody like Dwayne Wade in his heyday from, you know, 2007. But he has all of those abilities. The speed is really impressive with him. He's a good-looking player for the future, especially for fans of international players.
Dan, the winner of this Wizards-Hawks series will take on the winner of the Boston Celtics-Chicago Bulls series. As I mentioned, the Celtics lead 3-2. What are your impressions of that series?
Well, the interesting note in that series, last night's game in Boston, it was the first time that the home team had won a game, which is the complete opposite of the Washington-Atlanta series. So, I mean, Boston is the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, which is kind of a surprise considering everybody thought that the Cleveland Cavaliers would be a shoo-in for that number one spot. Of course, the Cavs are sitting at home, relaxing, you know, recuperating from their 4-0 sweep of the Indiana Pacers, where the Celtics are battling it out with the Chicago Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are really giving them a run. You know, it's a 1-8 series, which means that the Bulls were the last team in the Eastern Conference to get into the playoffs. The Bulls have been strong. Of course, they are struggling a little bit with Rajon Rondo out with an injury. He was such a key contributor to the first two games that the Bulls were able to win in Boston. And now that he's out, the Celtics seem to have a little bit of opportunity for some of their outside players to take advantage of that. I mean, watching some of the comments after that game, the Bulls players were saying that really the key difference was Avery Bradley from Boston got 24 points last night, and he's usually known as a defensive player. They gave up 24 points to a guy that they don't usually expect to score that much. That might have been the difference in the game.
We've been talking about some of the key players in the playoffs. Dennis Schroeder, a point guard. John Wall of the Wizards, he makes that team go, playing point guard. Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics, another point guard. The Celtics get a lot of energy from him. You mentioned storylines, Dan. He's a great storyline. Kind of on a sad note, the way these playoffs started for him.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's the engine that makes the Celtics go. And I believe it was right before the first game of the playoffs, Thomas's sister died. And he was visibly shaken up. He was in tears before that game started. I mean, we all have had important people in our lives die, and I'm sure all of our listeners have gone through that experience as well. To be out there in a game where you feel like you have to lead your team, but you're conflicted, obviously conflicted, you're in pain. So it's great to see him coming back and playing as well as he did. Last night, for example, he also had 24 points and looks like he's back in business after a tough start to the playoffs.
Dan, you mentioned your Cavs breaking out their brooms to sweep the Indiana Pacers 4-0. The Cavs currently one of three teams through to the second round of the NBA playoffs. Also, the Golden State Warriors, they swept the Portland Trailblazers 4-0. And the Houston Rockets, they're through to the second round. They eliminated the Oklahoma City Thunder 4-1. What do you think of the title chances at this early stage of the playoffs of the Cavs, the Rockets, and the Warriors?
Well, I think if you had to put the odds together as far as which team is going to give Golden State a run in the Western Conference, right now you have to say it's going to be Houston. Houston's offense looks so good, led by James Harden. you know, Portland is not a bad team. Last year, Portland had a good run in the playoffs, had some, you know, outstanding plays by a guy like CJ McCollum, who was a key scorer for them, and they went down 4-0. You have the LA Clippers, you know, they're looked at as a team that always has been tough in the West. I mean, going back two or three seasons, they look like they were a legitimate contender to win the West, along with a team like Oklahoma City that had Kevin Durant at that point and Golden State. And it looks like their window is closing. I mean, Blake Griffin is injured. I was watching on TV. A lot of people were wondering whether Chris Paul is a difficult teammate to play with. He's obviously an outstanding point guard, but he is supposed to be one of the best five players at that position in the league, and he's had trouble getting his team deep into the playoffs. So I'm looking at, I mean, you have this tough series between Memphis and San Antonio. I mean, I was reading a story about Manu Ginobili was like barely making any shots at all. This might be his last playoffs, the outstanding player from Argentina. But Houston definitely looks like the strongest team on that side of the bracket, and they should give Golden State a run. I mean, Golden State is so good. Even if they're not playing well, their system really carries them through. They get a lot of open shots. And the thing I'm worried about on the other side with my hometown Cleveland Cavaliers is they really have to grind it out in the playoffs. They have guys like LeBron and Kyrie Irving who are individually so strong, but sometimes they have trouble getting the other players into the mix. I mean, Kevin Love by himself for Minnesota for all those years was such a great player for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now he's on Cleveland. He's kind of the third option, but he's such an outstanding player. He's got the ability to score inside. He's a good outside shooter. He can get a lot of rebounds. The Cavs don't take enough advantage of that. So they're really going to have to work on being a little bit more efficient in the next round when they go up against a tougher team like Toronto or even Milwaukee, if Milwaukee can make a two-game comeback here.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. And Dan, I know you occasionally do sports stories at the Learning English website. Can you tell our VOA listeners about
Actually, that? we have a story coming up this weekend about the first South African player to get a hit in the major leagues last night, a player for the Pittsburgh Pirates from South Africa, 27 years old. He had played 700 games in the minor leagues, finally got a chance to play for the Pirates and got a hit last night.
Okay, we will await that gift from you, Dan, and we look forward to that. Dan Friedel of VOA's Learning English Department. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Let's begin with the blue machine from Namibia, Julius Ndongo. Big victory in Glasgow, Nnamdi, over Ricky Burns. Unanimous decision to claim the junior welterweight title belts. What's happened since that impressive victory?
A couple of days after the Blue Machine won the belt against Ricky Burns, IBF, the International Boxing Federation, mandated that Ndongo must face the number one contender as a mandatory challenger, Sergey Lipnets from Russia.
Will that fight happen, Nnamdi?
That fight should not happen. The big question is, who is Sergey Lipnets? What qualifies him to fight a warrior in Julius Ndongo, who just unified two belts from the division? So the chance of that happening is very remote.
VOA! Our VOA boxing fans will remember Nnamdi, Julius Ndongo, the Sunny Side of Sports Fighter of the Year for 2016. What about Terence Crawford? Would he fight Crawford?
Terence Crawford is an undefeated American junior welterweight WBC champion who has big money behind him in HBO. He is from Omaha, Nebraska. He's a big draw. That's the fight that the fight fans want to see. But the situation is that Crawford, he's not really interested in staying at the 140 division. He wants to fight Manny Pacquiao for the big money. But if HBO decides to say, okay, let's put the three belts on the line, the WBA and IBF, which that's with Ndongo, and the WBC with Terence Crawford, and we'll put the money behind it and the casinos come and back it, then we will have what we call a real unification fight with Ndongo and Terence Crawford.
Ndongo, as I said, Nnamdi, impressive victory in Glasgow. would there be some big money fights elsewhere in Europe?
Sonny, Ndongo has just signed with Eddie Hearn of Matchbox Promotion, which means in the fight game, he finally has what we call insurance. He will be protected. There are big money fights for him in the UK. There's no need for him to go to Russia and take a guy who is a former kickboxer with 12 fights and get robbed in Russia. So he may decide to give up on the IBF belt and just hold on to the WBA belt.
Namdi, do you have any updates on other African fighters?
Remember Tyron Zug, who is the WBA super middleweight champion. A couple of weeks ago, he fought Isaac Ekpo from Nigeria. And in the fifth round, the fight was stopped due to headbutts. And the fight was awarded to Tyron Zug. But Tyron Zug, the champion, looked really bad, you know, during the fight, which means it was a home decision to stop the fight. And they went to the cards and they gave the fight to the champion, so he held on to his belt. But the WBA ruled that there must be a rematch, which is very rare. So Isaac Ekpo will go back to Germany and take on Tyron Zug again for a rematch and then make some more money.
Again, he'll be fighting in Germany, Namdi. Does that work against the African?
Well, the African fighters, they've always gone into enemy territory when they want the belt. He must go in this time and really do damage and go for the knockout, go for the broke. He fought this guy for five rounds, so he knows what to expect. So the only way he can win is by a knockout, like Ndongo did in Russia. So he must go in back in the rematch and just take this guy out.
Namdi, a recent non-title fight in New York City. Sean Porter scores a ninth-round TKO of Andre Berto, both former world champions. Porter now lined up to fight WBC welterweight champion Keith Thurman. Or will he fight Thurman, Namdi?
Well, it depends on what Al Haymon, the promoter and manager of both guys, will decide to do. He may decide to take Thurman in a different direction since he owns both guys and then come back for a bigger payday.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And Namdi will be back with more hard-hitting commentary on Friday's show when he takes a look at Saturday's World Heavyweight Championship fight in London between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you as always.
Andrew, I understand you have a gift for our VOA listeners.
Yes, it's a gift for sports fans around the world, but particularly African sports fans, and that's because a man by the name of Gift Ngope, he's a South African, became the first African Major League Baseball player last night, making his debut with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And not only did he become the first African MLB player, he also became the first African Major League Baseball player to get a hit in a game. And his first at-bat, a single right up the middle, had the crowd cheering. Really exciting story, as I said, for sports fans, but for African sports fans in particular, a lot of attention on this young man and the success that he's having. The Pittsburgh Pirates, on their social media accounts, tweeted out a picture of Ngope taking the field, and they just put one icon with that post. It was a little gift emoji, and that was all they needed to say. Ngope, after the game, he said there are about 1.2 billion people in Africa, so it's pretty cool that he gets to be the first African at something. So he was very excited about this, said that it means it doesn't matter where you come from, no matter who you are or where you are from, you can still make it no matter what country. So really a great historic moment there in Major League Baseball last night.
Major League Baseball, of course, very popular here in the United States. Andrew, baseball, not so popular in Africa, but maybe Gift can, kind of spark its development.
I think that's certainly a possibility that's being speculated about, bringing the gift of baseball and sparking that interest in Africa, in his home country of South Africa, and then across the continent. But a lot of baseball fans saying that the game is made for moments like this, not only making his major league debut, but representing his country, his continent, to do so. They said it was great. And the video of him getting that first hit is great because the announcer in the video says at 2:49 in the morning South Africa time, Gift Ngope has made history. So really kind of something that gives you chills, one of these great sports moments.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, switching from baseball to football, it's an exciting day for football fans as well. It is the NFL draft day. So tonight in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the NFL teams will be making their picks and choosing among college players. And some college players will be very excited. They're going to be going to the National Football League. And there's a lot of speculation about who's going to get picked first. We know that the Cleveland Browns are going to be picking first. They're, unfortunately for them, perpetually the worst team in the NFL. And I sit here with Dan Friedel, knowing he's a Cleveland fan. I'm sorry to say that. As a Jets fan, we're not much better, so there's that. But the Cleveland Browns being the worst team, they do get to pick first. So they'll either have, the speculation is anyway, Myles Garrett, who's a defensive end from Texas A&M University, or Mitch Trubisky, who is a quarterback for the University of North Carolina. Those are the two that they're speculating. One of those two will get picked by the Cleveland Browns. A lot of Browns fans excited. They're saying, hey, we're number one at something. We get to pick first in the draft. But a lot of Brown hate on social media, unfortunately. It says, if you think you're having a bad day, one of the best college football players is about to be drafted by the worst team in U.S. professional football. So not a lot of love for the Cleveland Browns, but we'll see how those picks play out tonight. Interesting to note that the New England Patriots, the Super Bowl champions, won't be picking until the third round at number 72. That's because they've traded some of their picks. That's something that we see in the offseason. Picks get traded along with players as they move from team to team. But I think this tweet encapsulates the feelings of the New England fans. It says, you can have the number one pick. I'll take 199 any day of the week. And that's because who was drafted 199 overall? Tom Brady, the great quarterback
right.
who's led them to so many Super Bowl championships. So an amazing stat that he was drafted so late in the sixth round and he became such a great quarterback. So just goes to show, even if you get drafted first or in the top 10 or 20, it's no guarantee of success.
What's that expression? Diamonds in the rough? Maybe, I guess Brady is definitely a diamond in the rough.
Yes. Usually the top players are the ones that excel and do well, but Brady was the exception to that rule for sure.
Andrew, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we talked about Maria Sharapova yesterday making her return to tennis after a 15-month suspension for a drug violation. Well, she did it in, made a return in style, beating Roberta Vinci of Italy 7-5, 6-3. And after the match, she said she's been waiting a long time for this moment. She called it the best feeling in the world, and her fans were certainly excited to see her back there on the court. She followed up that win with one today, beating her countrywoman Ekaterina Makarova 7-5, 6-1. So she's on a roll there in Stuttgart, Germany at that tournament. But not universal acclaim and love for Maria Sharapova. As we talked a little bit yesterday, there are a lot of fans who are unhappy that her suspension was cut short. They think that she should have been suspended longer. A lot of Sharapova haters out there who are not happy to see her back. And among the players, there's one in particular today who's getting a lot of attention, Jeannie Bouchard. She's a Canadian tennis player. She says that Sharapova is a cheater and she should be banned for life. So very strong words from one of the women's tennis players that are on the tour. Sharapova's fans, though, are coming to her rescue, coming to her defense, saying that Sharapova has better stats in two matches than some of the players that who are criticizing her have had all year long. So they're saying you got to look at the record. She has two matches back on tour after 15 months out. Two wins, relatively easy wins. So they're saying that Sharapova's back for the stay, and they think that she's going to do quite well. If she can get to the French Open, it'll be interesting to see how far she can go there.
Do you think she has a chance at the French Open?
It'll be interesting to see if they give her one of those wild cards. They're not going to make a decision on that until about mid-May, about a week before the tournament starts. But even if she has to go through qualifying, I don't think she'll have any problem breezing through the qualifiers and making it to the main draw. But we'll see if she's there in Roland Garros in a couple weeks.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the April 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Partnership for Research on Ebola Virus in Liberia, known as PREVAIL, announced this month the expansion of the Ebola vaccine study at Redemption Hospital in Monrovia. The study will assess three different vaccine strategies in an effort to find which show the most promise to prevent or quickly control future Ebola outbreaks. It is a continuation of a previous vaccine effort that began in Liberia in February 2015. The start of the expansion of the Ebola vaccine study in Liberia, announced on April 3rd, follows a similar effort of the multi-country study which started in Guinea on March 27, 2017. An extension of the study in Sierra Leone is being planned. This is the first large-scale clinical study being coordinated by the International Partnership for Research on Ebola Vaccination, or PREVAC. The study originated with the West African Clinical Research Consortium, established in 2015 by scientific leaders in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone to focus on research activities that could prevent or help respond to future Ebola outbreaks. The PREVAIL group includes the West African Consortium and its international sponsors and partners, the French National Institute of Health and Medical Research, sponsor for Guinea, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, part of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, sponsor for Liberia, and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, sponsor of the planned extension in Sierra Leone, a collaboration with the University of Sierra Leone's College of Medicine and Allied Health Sciences. Another PREVAIL consortium partner is the non-governmental organization Alliance for International Medical Action in Guinea. The study, which in Liberia will be called PREVAIL 5, will be conducted in two parts. The first part, called PREVAC, and now underway in Guinea and Liberia, will enroll up to 600 people 12 years and older. The second part, expected to start in the second half of 2017, aims to enroll 4,900 people, including 3,500 healthy men and women aged 18 years and older and 1,400 children over 1 year old. The United States is proud to work with Liberia and other international partners to combat the deadly threat posed by Ebola to the people of Liberia and the region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.